The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Hallelujah. Amen. I always love it when God takes us in new directions, causes different things to happen, allows us, and He gives us the freedom to either flow in it or not. You know, there's no mandatory direction from God. But praise the Lord, He opens the door and allows His people to walk through and walk into His presence. And I believe we've experienced the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen? All right. Well, we are going to continue this series that we've been talking about, that I've been talking about, Fight the Good Fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And it gives us some direction here to fight the good fight. It's a faith fight. And we are doing our very best to lay hold on the eternal life which we've been called to. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to work to receive an eternal life. It means that we're working and striving to fulfill all that God has called us to in this world, to prove that we are a part of eternity. That's who we are. We don't have to work for it. We receive it. But we continue to do the kingdom work, and people recognize that the kingdom is in this earth today. God is moving. He's using His people, His ecclesia, His church to expand His kingdom. But we're not fighting a flesh and blood fight. We must get hold of that. We must recognize we're not fighting against people. We will come into conflict with people, but we do not fight against those people. We do not fight physically with anyone. We should not. That's not who we are. We're spiritual beings. Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, then I'd fight. But it's not. His kingdom is not of this world. It will be one day. When He comes back, it will be. And then He will fight. And then He will destroy all evil. And then He will set things right. There will be no injustice in this world. But until then, there is going to be injustice. There's going to be wrong because men's hearts are dark. We can't change that, but the Spirit of God can. Amen? Amen. So we got to stop fighting this physical battle. A young lady by the name of Joanna called her pastor, and she was hysterical. She had just been married for about 3 weeks, and she said, we just had our first fight. And she was just hysterical, and it wasn't just an argument. They really got into fighting with each other, not physically, but fighting one another, and maybe it did turn into a little bit of some physical stuff. And then she was just distraught, and she talked to her pastor, and the pastor just, she called him, and he just kind of chuckled on the phone, and he said, it's okay, everybody has conflict. There are issues in life and issues in relationships. Every marriage has its first problems, and it's just natural. And she said, Pastor, I understand that, but what am I going to do with the body? That's probably not the best joke I've ever told. But it makes my point this morning. We're not fighting a physical fight. We are fighting against spiritual beings, principalities and powers that want to bring conflict. They want to bring conflict into your marriage. They want to bring conflict into this church. They want to bring conflict into your families. And they want to bring conflict into our nation and the world. That is just the nature of the enemy. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And he tries his best to kill, steal, and destroy. We're going to read Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, and then we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're going to begin with verse 16. We left off with that. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield is so important. Paul says, above all, take up the shield of faith. Now, the Roman legions, soldiers, there was three types of shields that they had. The parma, it was mostly used for the those who rode on horseback. It was a small round shield that they could carry and easily carry with them. There was the clypeus, which was the Roman version of the aspis, the Greek aspis. It was a round shield, a little larger, and it was used. They would carry it and use it for hand-to-hand combat. But in this particular passage, Paul uses a particular Greek word, thurion, a large shield. It was more of a door-shaped shield, almost body-sized shield. In Latin, it was called the scutum. And it was the most famous Roman shield of the time. And I believe that's the one that Paul is talking about. He's talking about this large shield that can protect you completely and totally. This shield was so large that the Roman soldiers could just crouch down behind it and be protected from spears and arrows, swords, anything that the enemy was using against them. It was large. It was rectangular. And it was used by almost all the foot soldiers of the empire. It was a concaved shield that kind of wrapped around them a little bit. And it was the shield of choice by the foot soldiers. It was about 2 to 5 feet wide, 2.5 feet wide, and it weighed about nearly 20 pounds. It was made of pieces of wood put together sort of like plywood that we have these days. And then it had several layers of leather skin placed over it, which layer upon layer, it became almost as hard as steel. So that's what they used to protect themselves. Now, here's what Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. When the Roman soldiers picked up this shield and they went into battle, they knew that they had something that no one else had. They had a piece of equipment that would protect them as they went forth into this battle. Do we have that picture of this is an actual picture of the scutum. It was found in Dura Europa. It's the only one known to survive to modern times. That's pretty much what it looked like, and you can see how they would be able to crouch down behind it and it would protect them. It was a piece of equipment that Paul says, above all, take this. Take this. Now, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But these shields were very important to the Roman soldiers. In 52 BC, the Roman Battle of Alesia was a decisive victory for Julius Caesar. Caesar commanded only about 60,000 troops, and he came up against the Gallic troops of about 330,000 men. But because of the training, and partially because of the shield that they used, the Romans were able to defeat the Gauls, and it was the last major battle between the two groups. Caesar was able, with just 60,000 men, to be able to defeat over 330,000. And a lot of that had to do with the shield. Now, the reason that Paul is telling us that we are to take up the shield of faith, and he's talking, of course, he had a Roman soldier right beside of him when he was writing this. He was in seclusion, in house arrest, and he was. Some people believe he was actually chained to a Roman soldier. We're not sure exactly how far they went with that, but he was definitely there and being watched by Roman soldiers. So he knew exactly what he was talking about when he talked about this shield of faith and how powerful the Roman shields were. He was comparing the faith that we have to this. The soldiers referred to the scutum as the door, because in order to get to the soldier, you had to go through the door. And it wasn't easy. You couldn't get through that door easily. So in light of all this, Paul talks about this in Ephesians. He introduces this shield in such a way that is really kind of a unique, he makes it a unique piece of armor. He says, above all, take the shield of faith. Now, he doesn't mean that the shield of faith is more important than any of the rest of them. What he's saying here is that above all, he means that before all, or put it in front of all. He's saying, yes, you must have all these pieces of armor on in order to be a faithful soldier, in order to go into battle, in order to be victorious in combat. But as you go with all these things, take that shield of faith in front of everything else. It's your first line of defense, is what the Apostle Paul was telling you. Your faith is your first line of defense. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in your salvation. Faith in the power of God to move on our behalf. It's our first line of defense. That shield of faith. All the pieces are critical. I don't want to take anything away from any of the things that we've already talked about. They're all very important. We need to have them on a regular basis. But Paul is just emphasizing here with the shield of faith, put it out in front of everything else. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14 says, watch, stand fast in your faith, be brave. So what do? We stand fast in faith. We have enough faith to stand. One of the things about the Roman legionnaires was that because of the shield and because of their equipment, they were able to stand their ground. And the enemy wasn't able to move against them and cause them to force them back. They were able to stand their ground, battle after battle after battle. And this shield was a big part of that, a huge part of it. In fact, what they would do from time to time when they were in battle is they would line those shields up side by side. Each man would stand alongside the other soldiers on his left side and his right side, and those shields would form a wall. It was almost an impenetrable wall by the forces that would come against them. And then they were able to reach over top of with their spears and their weapons and protect themselves with the shield of faith from the enemy that was trying to get to them. They could defeat the enemy with that shield of faith. And I'm telling you today, there is nothing like this shield of faith that we have. When we have our faith in the living God, when we put our faith in His Word. Now, we have to stand on the Word. Sometimes it looks like things are not going our way. Stand on the Word. If God has given you a promise, find a promise from the Scripture. If you're going through anything, find a promise in the Scripture where God is saying to you, and you hear it, listen. When you read the Word of God, you're reading the Logos, Word of God. But when it speaks to you, it becomes Rhema inside of you. And when it becomes Rhema, then you have a promise from God to stand on. Get that promise. You know, Kathy Taylor's been going through all this treatment with the because of the cancer, and she's done fantastic. The reports is just incredible how well she's doing. The doctor told her she was cancer-free. However, I must say, praise God, give Him glory. But however, when they removed the tumor, they did find that there was another type of cancer in that tumor. It's not in her body, it was just in the tumor. So they have recommended that she go through another regimen of chemotherapy. Now, I got to tell you, when I heard that, it was disappointing to me, but I can't imagine how disappointing it was to her. You know, and I'm sure that, she told me, Pastor, I had a tough time. You know, I had that crying time when I found that out. But when I was talking to her and Bob both, they had picked themselves back up, encouraged themselves in the Word of God, got back on that promise that God had given them, and they were prepared to continue with this battle. And that's what we have to do, because we're all going to go through stuff. Stuff just happens in our life. Things that are not easy, things that are not good, things that are very, very unpleasant. Sometimes things that make us want to give up. That's why we have to have that shield of faith that causes us to stand. Do all that you can do and then stand. That's what Paul was talking about. He was talking about, he was making that analogy between what the Romans, how the Romans fought their battles, and how we as Christians must stand our ground. Don't let the enemy push you back. He wants to. That's His desire. He wants to push you back and push you down. He wants, more than anything, He wants to see you run in fear. Retreat from the battle. We don't have to retreat. We have the victory in the name of Jesus. Hold up that shield of faith in Jesus' name. So we stand fast with our shield of faith. But it must be covered in love. It has to be. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. Now let me tell you something. There's nothing that Satan enjoys more than for us to begin to fight the battles that we fight in the flesh. Don't allow yourself to get into the flesh. Now if you do, repent and get back on track. We're human. We do make mistakes. We fall short. That happens. But it's so sad to see how slow the church is to recognize that this is not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. People are always trying to mobilize Christians, the church. They want to use us for their priorities, their political reasons, financial reasons, power reasons, personal reasons. They want us to get on board with fighting battles that are battles of flesh and blood instead of spiritual battles. Now I got to tell you what happened in D.C. With the violence that took place there on Wednesday. I condemn that. I believe we have the right to assemble and protest without a doubt. and make our voice heard. But just like I condemned Black Lives Matter and Antifa for the violence that they stirred up, I condemn that violence as well. It should not happen. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we must be careful that we do not get caught up in that kind of warfare. If we're not careful, we're going to see bloodshed like we've never seen in the streets of our nation. We don't want that. We want love to penetrate the hearts of those who may be against us. I mean, vehemently against us. There are those who hate Christians just because we are Christian. And we must return their hate and their anger with love. That's our mandate. That's what Jesus has called us to. So be careful how we fight this battle. Yes, it's okay for people to hear your voice, to know how you feel about a situation. Yes, it's okay to speak out. But don't get caught up in the flesh and blood battle that the enemy wants to lead us into. The shield of faith must be the first thing that we have. We must put it out front. It's our first line of defense as the enemy attacks us. Let's go back to Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The Greek word here, fiery, it literally means to burn, to be on fire. And a dart is a missile, a spear, or an arrow. Clark's commentary, as I was doing some research on this, Clark's commentary says it's possible that the Apostle Paul was alluding to a different type of arrow, a dart. He called it floricia. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing that right or not, but it's a Latin word, which was the head of the arrow was made of lead, and it had a place in it for some kind of combustible stuff to be able to be lit on the end of the arrow and then fired at the enemy. However, there's been other arrows found. There was found in Dura Europa in Syria, Roman arrows, which were, they looked more like a cage, a small cage with a shaft on the end of it. And what they have determined was that the Romans and other warriors that the Romans would fight against would put coals, a hot coal, in that cage and then fire it at the enemy. And as it went forth, the air from the arrow flying through the air would cause it to flame up and ignite. And as soon as it hit a wooden structure of some sort, it would be flaming and create havoc and cause fires. Historians also believe there's a possibility that these fiery darts were made of some kind of a hollow shaft, a reed of some sort that was filled with some sort of flammable liquid, alcohol, naphtha, and they would put a wick in the end of it and light it and fire it. And when it hit, can you imagine it hit a Roman shield or any opponent's shield? It would stick in that shield and then it would collapse, and that fluid, that liquid, would go all over the shield and create havoc for that soldier. He would be preoccupied with trying to put out the fire instead of fighting the battle, and he would be vulnerable. So this is really important for us, because we need to look at this. Paul is talking about that a certain type of arrow or a certain type of dart, fiery darts, that we need to deal with as Christians. That's one of the things that we use to keep the enemy from being able to get to us, is this shield of faith that keeps these fiery darts away from us. The fiery darts of the wicked, or the wicked one, I believe, are the persistent demonic efforts to weaken us by fear, unbelief, and compromise. Fear, unbelief, and compromise. Of course, when we start fearing, then we enter into unbelief. And many times, the enemy uses compromise to take us into that place. Oh, you can just do this one time. It'll be all right. You can just take, you know, if you have issues with alcohol, you can just take a drink one time. You'll be all right. If you're a drug, you had issues with drugs, you know, smoke a little pot. Come on, it won't hurt you. Take a pill. You'll be all right. Come on, you can snort this. It'll never hurt you. You'll be okay. And what that compromise brings us to the place where we begin once again to allow fear and unbelief to enter in. Oh, you can look at that. Come on. You can do that. You can watch this program. You're strong enough. You can listen to these things. You can read this stuff. Come on. The enemy, all kinds of things. And we're all dealing with different issues in our life, but we've got to guard ourselves, and that's why this shield of faith is so important. We've got to put it up in front of us. All the other pieces of armor are important. We must have on the belt of truth of God's promises, the breastplate of righteousness in Christ. Have on our shoes of peace that comes from the restored relationship that we have with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. We put on that helmet of salvation because it helps us to know that we are saved, not by us, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. When these pieces of armor are in the right place, are properly adorned by us, then we take up that shield of faith. Man, the enemy is in trouble and he knows it. He knows that we're going to stand our ground, but we're going to do more than just stand our ground. We have weapons that are awesome weapons that will take us into the battle. They're not just, we don't just have armor. We have weapons that we can fight this warfare with and cut the enemy to pieces. We will be, can be, and we are right now victorious in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. There's something very important about this, the daily care of this shield that the Romans had. They had to take care of it on a regular basis. And from the study that I've that I've done, it appears that the Roman soldiers every day had to do something with their shield. The first thing they would do in the mornings, they had a little vial of oil, and they would take that oil and they would rub it over their shield. Because remember, the shield, it was wooden, but on the outside it had leather, many layers of leather. And if you didn't keep that leather moist and keep it pliable, it would dry up and crack. And guess what? It was much more susceptible to fire. As long as it had the oil, you were somewhat protected from those fiery darts of the enemy. Now, you're all aware of the fact that oil is a representation in the Scripture of the Holy Spirit. So I think that analogy is not too much of a leap to recognize that what we're looking at is, in order to keep our shield of faith pliable and resistant to the fiery darts of the wicked one, we must anoint it on a regular basis. We must keep that oil of the Holy Spirit rubbed on our shield of faith. In the Old Testament, kings and prophets were anointed with oil as a sign of their position and their authority. In Matthew, Jesus tells a story of a wise and foolish virgins. They're invited to the wedding. And five of them come with their lamps, with just enough oil in their lamps. Five, those are the foolish ones. The wise ones come with oil and in their lamps and a reserve of oil. And of course, they're waiting for the bridegroom. And of course, for us, the bridegroom is Jesus. And as they wait for the bridegroom, the foolish virgins lose, their oil runs out. And the scripture says, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, I don't think it's too much of a leap here for us to recognize that the Lord is saying that the oil, the Holy Spirit, it must be. We must have that in order to be in the presence of the bridegroom. He's talking about, you know, there's no substitute. You either have the Holy Spirit because you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you don't. You're foolish. And those of us who walk in the wisdom of the Lord, we receive God, we receive Jesus Christ, we receive Holy Spirit, we receive the power of God in our lives. And in Zechariah, you know, there are many biblical references to oil in the Old and New Testament. That in Zechariah 4:1, there's a reference. It says this: the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me, and as a man who is waking out of sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking that there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left." So he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth." That is in verse 14. So Zechariah is being told that there's two anointed ones that are going to come. And we also read in Revelation that those two anointed ones are going to come at the end of days, which I believe we are rapidly entering into. Things seem to be pointing to that. Now, how soon that is going to happen, I'm not going to try to figure that out or even try to put a date on it. All I know is that we're to live every day as if Jesus is going to split that eastern sky and come back and get us. Amen? But at the same time, we live our life in such a way that we walk with integrity and honesty and holiness. We embrace our families. We love our families. We do everything we can to provide for our families. We do our work in the church. We live as if Jesus Christ is not coming back for another 100 years in that respect. Planning and preparing and recognizing that we have a work to do, but always keeping in the forefront of our mind that Jesus did not give us a specific date that he was going to return. So we live our lives before him as representatives of the kingdom of God, as ambassadors of Christ, thinking that any time he could come and set his kingdom on this earth, or he could come for his bride. So we prepare our lives for that. And we prepare our lives with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit," with riotous livings, out of control living. But we live our lives as if we're filled with the Spirit, because that's what we're supposed to be, filled with the Spirit of God. And this scripture actually has the connotation to it to continually be filled. In other words, you know, you just one filling's not enough. That's why it's important that we come here on Sunday mornings and we get a refilling. You heard what Todd said? You know, he's been refilled. And that's important. We just get that refilling over and over and over. Don't get it. We need to get to the place where we're desperate to have that in our lives. That song was perfect. Desperate for the things of God. So it's necessary for that spirit to be stirred up inside of us. Actually, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Stir up that anointing of the Spirit that's inside of us. Stir up the oil of the Holy Spirit. Stir it up and anoint that shield of faith every day, every morning, like those Roman soldiers did. They did it because it was a matter of life and death. And I can tell you this, we're entering into a time where it will be a matter of life and death for you to survive. That's where we are. Praise God. We have an awesome God to rely on. I believe we're going to see some of the greatest things that could possibly happen in the Church of Jesus Christ in the very near future. We're going to see kingdom principles lived out. Old Testament and New Testament miracles take place. And God's kingdom expanded in this earth because His people know who they are and will rise up and preach the true and pure gospel of Jesus. When the soldiers would anoint their shields, those fiery darts, they just wouldn't catch fire to the shield, and the Roman soldiers were protected. When we anoint our shield of faith on a regular basis, on a daily basis, we have that protection from the Lord. Let's go back to Ephesians 6:16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Since the wicked one is referenced to Satan, we know that, and his forces. Paul is making reference here to these fiery darts. They're weapons of Satan. So what are they? They're those things that I talked about before. They're the deception, the unbelief, the compromise that the enemy tries to tempt us into. It's the schemes that the enemy sets up. And he'll set up traps for you to fall into. He'll set up all kinds of schemes. Every one of you can probably have a testimony where the enemy set up a scheme and you fell prey to his scheme. We've all got those stories. But we also have those stories where the enemy set up a scheme and we relied on the power of God. We had our shield of faith anointed and those fiery darts didn't penetrate and we were overcomers. And that's what we rely on. Those kind of stories. Let's put those other ones aside. It's these stories where we are victorious, where we can encourage one another. We're in a spiritual battle, and we need to approach it from a spiritual perspective. Another reason that those shields were so important, I already told you that how they would line up, but there was another battle formation that the Romans used. It was called testudo, or in English, the tortoise. Do you have that picture? You put that up? This is the tortoise formation. When Roman soldiers went into battle and they were being bombarded with arrows and spears and fiery darts, that's how they would enter their battle for protection. Those shields were on top, those shields were in front, and they were able to move forward into battle. But it took the whole regiment together, working together, side by side, in step, moving forward in order to accomplish the victory that they so much wanted. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says this, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in what? In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." It's absolutely imperative that we link together as believers in Jesus Christ, not only here in this local body, but with the whole body of Christ. But as a local body, we need to use our shields of faith together. You know, when we think about things like Kathy, Bob and Kathy are going through, and you know, other people in our congregation, Jerry and Diane, and we've all been praying, and Bud and Deb and Terry, and so many people. You know, I probably left some people out with things, but we pray for one another, and we believe by faith that we link these shields together. We put those shields on top. We get in this tortoise formation together. United, step by step, we move forward and we believe that God is doing a work. And He does. There's testimony after testimony that God is using our united faith, shields of faith, to dispel the enemy, to defeat the enemy, to overcome the enemy. God has given us the ability to accomplish great things, but it is necessary that we link these shields together. Absolutely necessary. We have a powerful God. And I want you to know this. No matter what the future holds, God is on our side. But we've got to be on His side. We've got to be linked together and have those shields connected to faith in our Father, in our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Assyrian army came against Hezekiah, it was a huge army, a vast army. It was the state-of-the-art army of the day. And Hezekiah was afraid, and all the people were afraid. But Hezekiah did the wise thing. He got on his knees and he prayed and he asked God to deliver them. He knew his power was not capable. His army was not capable of delivering them. And he cried out to God. And here's what God spoke to him in 2 Chronicles 32:7. And he spoke to the people, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than are with him." And we can count on that. There's more with us than are with the enemy. There's much more power with us than was with the enemy. Let me tell you what happened that day. They went to bed one night and they got up the next day. The Assyrian army, when they went to bed that night, the Assyrian army was camped just outside the gates of Jerusalem. There was fire campfires and tents as far as you could see. The army was massive. And the people went to bed thinking, what's going to happen tomorrow? When they got up the next day, this is what they found. "And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses of all the dead." That's what our God is capable of. Stand and stand in faith. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we're thankful that we can put our faith in you. We know that you have given us the responsibility, Lord, to stand in faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing your word. And we believe it and we trust it. And you've given us this word that just a faith the size of a small mustard seed could be planted and grow up and can move mountains. And we thank you, Lord God, that your word stirs us, that we have the ability to come together and hear your word and have faith build inside of us. Because whatever we're facing in our individual lives or facing as a church or as a nation, Lord, we just trust you. We put our trust in you, and we know you are the strong arm. We will not trust in flesh. We will trust in you, your power. For it's by your might that we are always delivered. And we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.